If you have a Bible today, turn with us over in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8 this morning. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8. We'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8. The Bible said, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man." I tell you, when God can do something in the local church, it's when folks get together. And it's just not getting together in body, but it's getting together in mind, soul, and spirit. And I'm going to tell you, we may can agree on many things, and we may disagree on some things, but we can all do this. We can all agree to disagree. And certainly, he said, he spoke for Ezra the scribe to bring the book. I'm glad he didn't ask him what version he is going to be preaching out of. And as far as I'm concerned, there's one Bible today in which we live, and it is the King James Bible. This book has took a lot of ridicule, but I'm going to tell you, this book has held my life together, friend. I want to tell you, this book has held our church together. And this book would still hold the country together if they'd get back in this book. And they called to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women and all that could hear with understanding. You may be seated this morning. I want to say this and just some preliminary warm-ups today, that if your child is old enough to hear, he's old enough to be here. If your child is old enough to hear, then they're old enough to be here. Don't worry about your children crying. It's not your children crying bothers me. It's when 40 and 50-year-olds go to squalling. Somebody say amen. You see, little children are supposed to be crying. But we're to be growing in the things of God. And never think that your child is too loud that it can't be preached over. So many times the devil runs young families out because they say, "Well, what about my children?" Well, you ought to raise the pair I got. Somebody say amen right there. And so, never say that if there's my children, they won't. You don't know what yours is going to do. But just be glad that they're here to hear the Word of God. Now, isn't it amazing? A 2-year-old can say amen. They didn't learn that at Bowden Primary School. They learned that at church. And many of your little children, they're bowing their heads. The Bible says, train up a child when they're young, and when they're old, it won't depart from them. A lot of you say, "Well, my child is way, way off." Yeah, but if you brought them up in a Bible preaching church, there's some things that only the Bible can put in them that only the Bible can do this morning. And so they brought all their little ones together. They didn't send them off to the gymnasium. I understand there's places for children church. You listen to me. If we was running a 4 or 5 bus ministry and we had 100 kids that knew nothing about God, knew nothing about disciplinary things, I understand you may have to bring them together to train them. But sooner or later, it ought to be a coming back in the congregation. Now, when Noah put them on the boat, they didn't have this trough for these and this trough for them. Amen. Amen. It'll feed the little lambs and the sheep too. So, I'm glad that we see some examples there where they had some little children involved. I'm glad in our church there are some little children involved. I'm going to tell you, they're the most delicate things that God has ever put in our life is children. Boy, what opportunity and what responsibility we have to be sure these little ones hear the Word of God. Well, the devil's having a heyday in our churches today, in our Baptist churches. You see where they would stand for the Word of God. Now, many times they went to entertainment and the things of the world. And the devil, you know, Brother Adam's exactly right what he said. The devil has no new devices. He's just very good at the old ones he's got. Somebody say amen. And so he knows if he can use that departure from the Word, he's got that church. And you can't make me think that a drama team will never take the place of preaching of the Word of God. There's some families here this morning because I've raised that up. But I'm going to tell you, I've done gone way too far to turn back now. And I'm too old-fashioned to go to swallowing goldfish, amen. Matter of fact, I went and seen Dr. Seaman. He had to stretch my esophagus. Things wouldn't get down. I'd hate to know where a goldfish would get stuck at. Somebody say amen right there this morning. But I'm going to tell you today, the preaching of the Word of God is still right on time, every time this morning. They said, bring the book and bring the little ones that they may hear. Mom and Daddy, it's your responsibility to bring your children to the house of God that they may hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I tell you, you ought to thank the Lord there's a place that you can still hear and get some Bible preaching where you go to church at this morning. Somebody say amen. Thank the Lord we can go to church where they got a Bible on the pulpit and they got the right Bible on the pulpit. Now watch what happens with this people. You know the shape they've been in. The walls have been broken down. The gates have been burned with fire. They're in a mess. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but we in a mess. And Brother Clemens, Brother Jody both preached Sunday night on we're just in a mess. And it don't take you long to look at it. I was looking at politicians this morning on Fox before I left. And, you know, I've noticed this. People get in an urgency when it affects their pocketbook. You know why the Republicans and Democrats are divided? They don't care about half of the Smoky Mountains is shut down this morning. They don't care about people all around us that's out of jobs because they've shut down by the feds. But honey, let me tell you something. If they pull their income out, they may go to getting to get together this morning. When you living on about $500,000 a year, you have a tendency to forget about those living on $30,000 a year. And when you take the 30,000 a year jobs out and you park them at home, you got people hurting. And my God in heaven, I wish our crazy politicians would realize there's some people hurting in our country this morning. You know, away and out of sight, it don't matter. I got a thing come across my electronic device this week. And a lot of my preacher brethren, they're up in the Smoky Mountains, up in Tennessee. They've shut down half of that mountain. I mean, kids can't even get on their school buses and go to school up there because the great parkways have been shut down by our Fed. School buses can't even get around them corners. When you go around, you see your taillights when you go around every one. But they don't care because it ain't affecting them. Boy, how I wished our nation would get back in the Word of God. I don't think we know how important this book is. Mama, this book has held our marriage together. When I knew nothing about God, He got to talking me out of this book. Isn't it amazing they didn't say, now, bring the visiting committee. Bring the yard sale club. Bring the car wash team. Bring the youth band. And they said, bring the book. What's so hard about bringing the book? Bring the book. Verse 4, I love what they done. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they'd made for the purpose. You know what this is made for? Preaching. You know the difference between teaching and preaching. Preaching's yelling, teaching's telling. Don't ever forget that. This thing is made for preaching the Word of God. Listen to me. There's nobody here today that this Word of God can't help. It's still relevant. It's still in date. And there's no expiration date in all 66 books here in the Bible. No expiration. Wouldn't that be something? Now, this is good until 1872. Aren't you glad it's in date? We need to get back to some of them old home remedies. Some of that black drought. Castor oil. That keeps some of y'all laying out of church. You had to get a dose of castor oil every time you met. That's what Mama do. We'd lay out. She had a spoon about this big. It's kept in a cardboard box in the pantry. Castor oil was there. You know, it's real oil. That whole box looked like an oil slick. She'd just pour an old spoon full and salge it in you and throw spoon and bottle back in that old box and slam it up in the closet. And it was ready for your next layout day. Somebody say amen right there. I know a lot of Baptist folks at Liberty need a good dose of castor oil. Well, these old home remedies will help you, won't they? So bring the book. They had a pulpit of wood for that purpose. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. I won't say it's still all right to say amen in church. That means that's so. And we ought to be a hollering, amen or oh me. You ever seen a fast dog on a cold track? Somebody get to hollering at him how he'll pick up? Some of you need to get your amen fixed. Amen. So they said amen, amen. And look what they're doing. They're just lifting up their hands, bowed their heads and worked. Well, preacher, you can't be a Baptist and do that. Well, honey, I'm a trying to be both. I'm trying to be a good Baptist and worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths or a hut or a tent. And they sat under those places, for since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Now, verse number 18. The Bible says, also day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, they kept the feast even 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Now on the 24th day of this month, chapter 9, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. They stood up on the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Kadmiel, and Shadbaniah, Bani, Sherbiah, Bani, and Shaniah, and cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. And if you can pronounce them better than me, come on up and have your time at it. That's a mouthful for a boy from Bowden, amen. And so the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, and them and those, stood up. Somebody say amen. Watch this. Stood up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise, though even thou art Lord alone. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this good time together at your place. Help us to be a blessing to your people this morning. Touch us, Lord. I'm a needy preacher today. Help my infirmities. Help us, oh God, I pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Now, I'm interested where you'll see the Bible said in verse 1, they stood upon the stairs. Then verse 5, it says, stand up and bless the Lord your God. I'm going to preach on this simple subject this morning on stand up, stand up for Jesus. Stand up, stand up. It's about time somebody stand up for Jesus. Now you'll notice, first of all, if they went to church and basically this is what they were doing. Oh, I know the church hadn't started yet. The church was on the mind of God. And there are some precepts that we can learn from the nation of Israel as they tabernacle together of what I believe God wants us to have in a church in this day and this hour. Somebody needs to stand up for Jesus in the day and hour that we live. First of all, notice their acclamation, chapter 8 and verse number 18. They went day by day from the first day to the last. They read in the book of law. Now, I'm glad that their acclamation said they didn't go far from the Word of God. Now, a Bible will keep your life cleaned off. It'll keep your life cleaned out. And boy, how we got that example by day they got in the Word of God. I wonder how far you are from this book every day of your life. You say, well, I'm going to church. Where's my Bible? Y'all didn't like that. I'll hit rewind. Hit that again. A lot of you say, well, it's time to go to church. Where's my Bible? Where's your remote? Where's your computer? Where's your Facebook? I bet if you was putting your face up in this book, it'd be different. Amen. Y'all don't like it. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm a preacher, not a politician. I'm going to get me a sign like Miss Angie and them's got down there cutting hair, Miss Christie. I'm a beautician, not a magician. Well, I'm a preacher, not a politician. Don't go down in their chair, sit down, and think they're going to do a miracle. You can just work with so much. Somebody say amen. These donut haircuts don't cost much. So, you'll notice here in their teaching to us, they had great acclamation. But then look in chapter 9, verse 1, Brother Lee. Look now at their humiliation. I love it when preaching carries over into lifestyle. I like what the sister said this morning. Said, you know, my life has been changed by the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice here how they were touched in the preaching. I'm going to meddle a little bit now. The Bible said, now, the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel assembled fasting with sackcloths, and earth was upon them. Notice not on their acclamation, but their humiliation. Now, it carried over from the Scriptures. And I want to say, first of all, it affected how they dressed. Man, some of our young girls just ain't had no mama. Hun, when you come in the altar, we don't need to throw a shower curtain on you to cover you up. And then let me go in part right here. Now, some of y'all think you work by the FBI. We ain't got a tape measure on the front porch to see how long somebody's dressed or how long their britches are or their hair are. And just leave all that to God. Leave it up to the preacher and the Word of God. But let me tell you something. Common sense ought to tell some folks something. This ain't a tanning bed. My God, I've got my neck fixed. Y'all better watch out. This ain't a tanning bed. And so it affected how they dressed and affected how they did. Man, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could preach a message and it affected you till next Sunday? I wish we could get back to where we had life-changing messages. You know what they were doing? This showed such a repentance that they had. that they wrapped themselves in uncomfortable garments and they sat down in ashes. And it meant they were sorry of their sins. Wouldn't that be a blessing if I just want to ask y'all something. I'd be a good president for 2 days. That's all I'd want. And I want to get back on my tractor. Somebody say amen. By the way, I got back on my tractor this week. I've been like a little boy at Christmas, got a new BB gun, no BBs come in with it. Just started looking at it. This week I got to put some BBs in the gun, amen. And so I'm a happy preacher. But anyhow, back to all this. I wonder how it'd fix our nation if the president said, okay, we're going to declare a fast and a proclamation throughout our land, and we're going to be sorry of how we're living and what we're doing and all these babies we've killed and all this stuff we said's wrong, we've made it right. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we just declared a fact? I wonder how we'd get God's attention and have America back strong and brave again. Let me tell you something. Men don't have strength in their self. Countries don't have protection like you read in their self. It comes from the God of our heaven, friend. God's been good to us, and God's been good to our country. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can you preach and affect anything? It's just like what Brother Adam said this morning. If we can affect a family, it will affect a town. It'll affect a city. It'll affect a state. It can affect a country. My Lord, you ought to be praying for every preacher in America this week. Dear God, get back to preaching the Bible and leading the people to where God is. Hallelujah. Boy, I guarantee you'd get God's attention. Wouldn't that be something if every slaughterhouse in the country was shut down with child abortion Monday morning and somebody stood up and had enough brass on their face and enough guts and glue in their britches and said, we are tired of doing wrong. We get against our God and we're ready to get back and listen to what you can do for our country. And I don't apologize for what I'm preaching this morning. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could hear a message that changed our life? Did you know that's why I've poured myself into this life? Not only God's called me, but I've seen the need. So it's so good for me when other men come and preach. And I get to see the need of a people that need a preacher that'll preach right. And is not scared to preach. And some of you need to get behind your preacher so he knows that you're with him, whether he's walking the banisters or he's a crying on the altar. Some of you need to get in this thing both barrels, amen. Get your feet planted. Get your feelings off your shoulders and realize if you're going to do anything for God, there's a price you got to pay to have God. Now their humiliation. Oh, give us some sermons that'll change lives again. Give us some old men like Monroe Wiggins. Brother David, when they'd look at you, they looked into your backbone. Give us some men that sold out for God, not puppets, not hirelings. Give us a people that'll support their preacher, that'll love on their preacher and stand with them. Humiliation. Verse 2, look at their separation. The Bible said, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Separation. You know, now it's become so much that the church has become so worldly and the world has become so churchy. Oh my, they practice the discipline of separation. We're not better than nobody else. We don't hate people. We don't hate homosexuals. We hate the sin. Matter of fact, the sin of homosexuality is like the sin of drunkenness, the sin of lasciviousness, the sin of adultery. It's all sin, and it all puts you in some bad places. God tells us to be separated. How can you win somebody to God telling the jokes they tell? How can you be a light for our church if you're not a light in the world? I would hope that some of us are further in our Christian walk than we've ever been. And let me tell you something. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested. And a lot of times it's good for us to fall flat on our face and realize we can't do this by ourselves. Boy, it's a great day when I realized I can't do it without you. Can't do it. We've got to have the Lord, Liberty Baptist Church. Sir, you're not keeping that business running. Ma'am, you're not keeping that shop open. That's the hand of God on you. Look here, Mom and Dad, in this thing of separation. You know why your young'uns is doing good and well this morning? Because the God of heaven has allowed them to be. He wants us to be separate. He wants us to be different. Listen, you ain't got to sit in a corn crib with blinders on to be a Christian. You can be a Christian at the beach. You ain't got to drink the Bud Lights on vacation. You don't have to go down to Gumpo's and get you a Miller Lite and hope your preacher don't walk in. Just get rid of it, and then you ain't got to worry about nobody catching you with it. About the time I'm not going to crow too loud because there's a lot of things I have done I'm not proud of, but there's a few things I hadn't done I'm proud of. I'm scared to death of what the Internet brings me. Brother Mike Huey guards every site I go to, and I want somebody looking because I'm human. Look up here. We ain't praying right now. Get you some preaching. You better not trust your stinking rotten flesh. Because this is stinking rotten flesh. And men like girls and girls like men. And the Baptist church don't need to be a playground with monkey bars neither. You don't need to hug my wife like you're climbing a gym set. And no man wants his wife treated like that either. And you young men better stay away from these young girls because they're boys and they're girls. And don't you, Mom and Daddy, be so naive to think that yours won't do it because it's in them to do it. Why is it in them? Because it's in me and you to do it. You say, I don't like that. Going up yonder, she won't preach to you. I don't give a flip. You've been married 75 years. What difference does that make about what the devil can do? I don't trust the pop-ups on the Internet. I don't trust where it can take me to. And let me hit lottery tickets. I've never bought one. And by the time I did, I'd win probably $500,000. They'd put me on the Bowden Assembly. I'm on there a lot anyway, but this would be legit. Then I'd have to pay a tithe, $50,000. Somebody say, Brother Mike, we had $63,000 off. Yeah, the preacher hit the lottery. Some of y'all wouldn't pay a tithe if you had the lottery. Somebody say, amen. You God-robbing rascal. You get a mixture of David Clemens, Dean McNeese, Jody Harrison. I'm a spitting nails this morning. Separation. There's nothing wrong with doing right. Look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Listen, Christians are not to be isolation. We're to be insulation. How can we be a light to a lost and dying world in a corn crib with the blinders pulled down? He wants us to be different in our lifestyle, but out in places where a light goes a long way. A lot of you wonder, why did God put me in this bad place? Just a little light will go a long way in a dark place. Separation. Then I love chapter 9, verse 3. I'm winding down. Now I'm just getting my feet back to wet preaching. I know y'all not paying me by the hour to preach. Some of you need about 7 days of preaching. Now look at their participation. I love this. It really grabbed me last night when I seen this. Look here. And as far as I'm going to preach this morning. Verse 3. And they stood up in their place. Underline that, their place. You have a place. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God. 1/4 part of the day. Another part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. They stood up in their place. I want to read this to you. I penciled it down a few years ago studying this passage. You'll notice how the people reacted to preaching. One of the writers said this, Brother Jake. He says, sometimes when people are growing because of spending time reading the Word, they feel that they're becoming more sinful when in fact they're becoming more holy. In other words, when a man's preaching or you read the Word of God, you feel so dirty. But what it is, you're getting more holy. Do you understand that? When this book is illuminated in our lives and our type of living and lifestyle bothers us, it's not that we're getting more wicked, it's God's getting us more holy. The things used to didn't bother you, but it bothers you today. That don't mean you're getting more wicked. That means you're getting more like God. And so we ought to read this book for our life and their participation. Every man stood in their place. Brother Adam said it this morning. He preached all over my sermon. You know, don't think for one second. Some of you new families are here. And I hope that you're here longer so I can use a great illustration with you that I put my foot in my mouth with one of the new families sitting here today. The first time they ever visited this church, put my foot in my mouth. Anybody ever put their foot in their mouth? But you know, the devil will do his best to try to get you out of church. Listen to me, older Christians. You listen to the man of God. I'm done preaching, but you better hear what I'm about to say because we're going home. You be careful what you say to offend a young Christian. Because they some done leaning now. They sure, Lord in heaven, don't need nobody else throwing darts through their heart. And the devil will use you just to get them right on out of church. Well, I guess I'd ask you this. Would you rather for them to be out there, out of church, or maybe here because they don't smell like you? Would you rather for them to be out of church, take their family plumb away from God, just because they didn't sum up to what you think they ought to look like or do? Sounds like to me that's sort of a judgmental law about it. And then when people come to our altars and pray, God help you to ever say they're getting what they deserve. Because I wonder, the truth be known, what would we deserve this morning? What would me and you get? I mean, where's people coming up with that stuff? They getting just what they deserve. A part of me understands that, but the Christian side of me says, oh, woe. Woe is me. Woe is me. God, help me to say one thing about one of your children. In the next 4 weeks, I'm going to a place to preach. I don't want to go because they're full of trouble. Because somebody's been so judgmental and thought they was the law. Let me tell you, we don't work for the law. We need each other. We're here to build and to help each other. And just let the preaching handle things. What are we going to do about them? No, I've got a better question. What are we going to do about you? Woe is me. somebody's kid out yonder got messed up. And you listen to me, young people. Listen to me. Y'all in your teenage years, so vital, right? Y'all can make a mistake in 30 minutes to change your whole life. But let me tell you, if it happens, I'd be Johnny if I'm going to throw you on the bus. Some of you don't like that. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm trying to lead you by the Bible. He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And let me tell you, hon, if you're throwing rocks, you're losing ground. We need each other. Well, I don't need nobody to tell me that I've got stain on my britches. I'll take it to the cleaners tomorrow. Mama, I don't know how in the world I got it on there. I wish it wouldn't. I could preach about 6 more Sundays in. It costs to get these clean. Some of y'all are looking like. Some of you ought to use more toothpaste, say amen. Attitude's like bad breath. The ones got it don't know you got it. That's the one sitting by you. You're not going to have a ministry like this size, looking down at people. And we can't tolerate sin either. I'm not condoning sin. Sin comes up, we got to deal with it as a church. You don't mess with sin, keep God. But you let God sort all that out. And you quit being the FBI on your preacher. You see about you. And if you want to talk about somebody, talk to God about me. Because He's the only one going to fix me. He's the only one going to fix you. Miss Sherry, you come this morning. Play. God, I know we've had a lot of preaching this week. We sure do need the Lord in our church. You come this morning. I don't know what you need. But I know there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Boy, these people stood for what was right. God better find us standing for what's right. This altar's open if you come.